Amen. We are beginning a new series here at Engage New York. We just finished up a 12-week series. 12 weeks was the longest series we've ever done. And my ADD generally kicks off around week six, and that's going pretty good for me. So that was 12. We're getting ready to start a new series, and actually a series of series that will take us to the end of the year. We are looking at, right now, Forward is what we're going to call this first one. Forward, we're looking in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, and then I think 7 weeks of that, and then we'll go to Fueled, which will be 6 weeks in the book of Acts, and then Focused will take us 4 weeks of Advent, where we're going to be looking at the characters of the Nativity. Hard to believe that we are talking about Advent already. 13 weeks to Advent, 17 Sundays until Christmas Day. Oh boy, that doesn't seem like a lot, does it? There'll be a lot to happen between now and then. But the idea is that we are going to move forward, we're going to be fueled by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be focused on the person and work of Jesus Christ. So let's focus now, though, for a few weeks in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua. Joshua is where we're going to be camping out. 7 weeks, the first six chapters of Joshua. I think of all the Old Testament books, this was probably one of the most exciting ones. There's a lot of action that happens in the book of Joshua. There's some love stories, there's battles, it's got it all in the book of Joshua. Very entertaining to read. But again, we're just going to look at the first seven chapters of that. So always on the first Sunday of a series, I feel like I got to do a lot of background work. I need to like set the scene a little bit, set the table, so you kind of have an understanding of what's happening there. So let's do 500 years of Jewish Old Testament history in 2 minutes. Shall we? Ready? Somebody set a timer. Please don't. All right, so you've probably heard the stories of Abraham, his son Isaac. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. You probably know those stories. They come from the book of Genesis. And then the Genesis story tells us of Isaac's son Jacob, who had another son named Joseph, who had the coat of many colors, the Technicolor dream coat, old reference, I know. But that's the group. It happens in Genesis. And then Joseph had 11 brothers and sisters. Those brothers, 11 brothers and then a couple sisters, those brothers didn't like Joseph because of that Technicolor dream coat that he had. They sold him into slavery into Egypt. Now, while he was in Egypt, a lot of stuff happened in his life. Joseph went through so much stuff, but God redeemed it for him. In the end, he ends up as the number two authority in all of Egypt. I mean, it's a big deal what happens there, to the extent that decades later, after his brothers sold him into slavery, his brothers end up coming to him because there was a famine in the land and they needed food. Now, Joseph plays some tricks on them. There's a whole thing about it. But the family ends up staying in Egypt for a very long time. Very long time. So long that the Pharaoh, which was like the king, the Pharaoh who was around at the time of Joseph, no longer alive, he's dead. He doesn't remember Joseph. He doesn't remember all the things that Joseph did for them and the Hebrew people has done for them. And they get afraid of the Hebrew people because they've grown and grown and grown and grown, and there's lots and lots and lots of them. And they're like, hey, if we get into a war with somebody, these guys will take the side of our enemy and they'll dominate us, and so we're going to enslave them. And they enslaved the Hebrew people and they became slaves. Now, that was their reality for like 400 plus years, a very long time, longer than the United States has been alive, a long time. They were slaves until a guy by the name of Moses comes along. You know that story as well. It comes in the book of Exodus. Now, Moses was a Hebrew who was raised in the palace of Pharaoh, so he understood the ways, but in the end, he kills an Egyptian, he runs away to the wilderness, and he stays there for about 40 years. And by this time, there's like a million Hebrew people. Okay, there's a bunch. I remember I said there was a bunch, like a million of them. It's a lot. And so Moses then is called by God to go back and rescue the Hebrew people out of slavery. Are you tracking with me? You know all this stuff already, all right? So he goes to demand Pharaoh to let my people go. That's the phrase, let my people go. You know that song. All right. 10 plagues come in. Pharaoh doesn't let them out after 9. He pretends to a couple times, but in the end, after the 10th one, where all the people died, the males are firstborn, they all die. They're like, get out of here. They send them away. And then Pharaoh changes his mind again. They follow him out. They have the Red Sea thing, and the whole army of Egypt gets wiped out, right? You're familiar with the story. Then, now the Hebrew people are in the wilderness going to the promised land. And they get on the doorstep of the promised land. They are right there. Honestly, it took them like a week, maybe 10, 12 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. And so they decide, let's send some spies into the promised land just to check it out. They send 12 spies. Now, 10 of them come back and say, we can't do this. There's giants living in that land. They're heavily fortified. We will die. We look like ants compared to them. There's 2 come back and go, we can take care of those guys. They have grapes the size of our heads there. It's amazing in there. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful. The fruit just falls off the trees. We got to go take this stuff. 2 of those people against 10, and the vote was 10-2. We don't think we can take it. So the whole people were like, I guess we can't get this promise that God has for us just yet. We are not ready for it. This made God kind of upset. And so then, instead of a week being in the wilderness, how long were they? 40 years in the wilderness, because their old identity needed to die off, literally die off, so they could adopt the new identity of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, in response to the lack of faith by the Hebrew people to take the promise that God had for them, their identity was killed off. They had to wait 40 years to claim the new promise. That whole generation was wiped away. They wander around for 40 years. Moses is their leader for 40 years. He's about 100 years old at the point we're going to be talking. And again, now they're on the doorstep of the promised land. 40 years later, okay? Just skip 40 years. And Moses had done some stuff, all right? And God was like, you can't go in. You got to be one of the old generation. But Joshua, who was one of the 2 spies that came back with a good report, was Moses' number 2 general. Number 1 general, number 2 guy. He was Moses' right-hand man. And so Moses dies, and the mantle is passed from Moses to Joshua. I just had another great thing. Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua in Greek is Jesus. He takes them into the promised land. All right. I just thought of that connection. Why didn't I think of that earlier? I could have built the whole thing around that. So here's Joshua, the number 2 guy in Moses. He's been the assistant pastor this whole time. Now the head guy's dead. You got 1 million people, bub. How are you going to get them across this river into the promised land? Can you imagine the stress of that, the worry of that? Can you imagine you being in the situation of Joshua, or maybe just a person in the Hebrew throng of people? There's 1 million of us here. We've just been through a lot. My mom and dad have died over the last 40 years, and now they don't even get to be in there. Moses, here we go. What about you thinking about the promise God might have for you? Can you imagine this? What dream do you have? What thing has God promised you? You might be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for it. It's right here at your doorstep. You might not even be able to articulate this thing that God has inside of you, or the thing that you think God has ready for you. I just know there's something better than this. I feel like I've been in the wilderness for a really long time. There's got to be something better than this, a promise that's out there. And you've waited 40 years for it. Most of you aren't even 40 in here yet, you young pups. But maybe God's preparing you for something greater than where you're at, and you're just not there yet. Imagine this. You are on the top of a mountain overlooking this beautiful scene of a countryside that's flowing with milk and honey. It has giant grapes. They have lush fields. They have fertile soil. It flows with that milk and honey. But guess what else? There's a river in the way. There's this giant river, and it's flooded, and it's in the way, and you can't get there unless you cross that river. Guess what else is still there? There's still giants over there. There's still enemies that are in the path. They're not just going to say, okay, come on in. You can have it. No, they're going to fight for it. They don't want you to have it. So there's these barriers to claiming the promise that God has for them. There's stuff in the way. And I think there's another issue or another problem that the Hebrew people face, and maybe we face it too. In today's message, we're going to talk about the barriers that are in the way of us claiming our promise. I'll list them here in a minute. But one of them is leadership. I mean, think about this. This is a leadership transition happening. They're moving from Moses to Joshua. They're in a major transition, and so the timing isn't right. Everybody knows organizationally you don't do a big thing when the leadership is in flux. But here they are. They're on the precipice of the promise, waiting to take it, but there's all these barriers in the way. So here's what I want you to do as we go through this message. Just think through this. We're going to have a little worksheet for you at the end. What are the promises God has for you? What are the things that you think God is just waiting to give me this thing? And then think through, what are the barriers for me claiming that? What's in the way? What mountains are in the way? What rivers do you need to cross? What enemies are keeping you from crossing that river and take the promised land? Here's Joshua 1, 1 through 9. This is the passage for the day, Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's pretty cut and dry there. Hey, he's dead. He's gone. Now then, you and all these people, all these million people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you, Joshua, you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. He says it again. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and what?
Courageous.
You know the words already. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Man, that twisted that up. I think there's three things in this short passage, and we'll add a fourth, three things that are barriers to the Hebrew people, and I think they're barriers for us for claiming the promises that God has for us. One is leadership. One thing is leadership. Sometimes leaders just keep us back. Two is people around us. The people around us sometimes hold us back. And three is physical limitations. Just in the first two verses, we get those three. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses is dead. And we know he's going to give the mantle of leadership to him. Moses is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River in the land I'm about to give them. Leadership is enormously important, especially when you have a million people following you. I can't even imagine that. I have 1,000 followers on Facebook. I can't control any of them. Not that I want to. I'm not even trying. But there's no influence over that. But can you imagine a million people, physical people, they're all with different opinions, ideas, and here they are in the midst of a leadership change. They'd been under Moses for a long time, It's not like everybody's like, sure, yeah, Joshua's our guy. I actually wanted Caleb. So what are you going to do? I like this other guy, Beeble. Well, you know, I don't know the name of the name. I don't know. Like, I wanted this other person to lead us because I feel like he's better. That's what happens when leadership changes. Everyone knows you don't make those important decisions when there's a leadership change. It's an organizational nightmare. So they have this challenge. But what about you? Who is leading you? Who's leading you in your quest to take on the promises of God? Are you following people and things that actually lead you closer to the promised land or further away from the promises of God? When we were first thinking about a new church downtown, down here, we thought through a bunch of different locations, a bunch of different people that we could connect with. And the biggest question I would ask myself when we would talk to another person or after leaving a discussion with a person, I would say to myself, is this someone I want to hitch my wagon to? Is this someone going to help us get closer to the promise we feel like God has for us or further away? Is this somebody going to help us get to that promised land or take us further away? So who's leading you? Who's leading you? Are you leading yourself in the right way? Because some of it's just ourselves. Are we leading ourselves closer to the things God has for us, or are we leading ourselves further away from them? I think it's a fairly simple question if you actually think through it and answer it. And I think it's a tie into the second barrier that we see here, which is simply my people. It says it, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, because we know people, like all these people. Pastors often say, not me. Pastors often say, church would be great if it wasn't for people. Never said it at this church. And that's a true statement. I've never said it at this church. People can be a barrier. They can keep you from attaining your promise, attaining the thing that you're purposed to do and meant to do. The people around you, the people that you associate with, do they get you closer to or further away from the things of God? If Joshua had been led by the people, they wouldn't get very far. Because lots and lots of people don't want to see you succeed. There's a lot of people who don't want to see you claim a promise. They want to thwart you and slow you down. They are jealous of what looks like your success. They'd rather be you than you be you. And so they'd rather just pull you down with them. They actually remember you from what you used to be, when you used to be somebody other than what you are now. And they don't want you to be the what you are now. They'd rather know you as what you were then. They have labels for what you were. They don't have something for you now. So instead of being proud of you for claiming your promise, they prefer to pound you down and keep you from realizing your promise. And some people just want you to stay the same. They may not want to lower you. They just want you to stay the same because they don't want you to go above their comfort level. They're comfortable with you just staying right here. So there are people who want to see you fail, and there are people who just want to see you stay the same and not claim the promise for you. So leadership, people, and then another barrier was the Jordan River. They had to cross this giant flowing river. It was flooded. It says, and get ready to cross the Jordan River. They don't mention that, there's a picture. That is the actual Jordan River, but not where they were crossing. It's a legit river. And in flood stage, it's like, it's bad news. You can't cross it. So I would ask you, what are the physical barriers that keep you from claiming the promises God has for you? There might be physical things, housing, transportation, a job. Do you need education, a degree, a certification? Do you need some sort of communication device, a computer, a phone? Do you need a relationship? Do you need an in? Do you need a mentor? What are the things that are keeping you from attaining the promises that God has for you? You might be in a spot. You can see it. It's right there. I know that I can have this thing that God has for me, but there's something in the way, and I'm stuck. I can't get across this river, or there's a mountain to climb, or there's a boulder in the way. What is it for you? And when there's a river, sometimes that barrier is too big, so they just give up and they go the other way. I can't overcome that. There's no way I can get across. Or sometimes you go upstream or downstream or whatever, and you look for a bridge. There's got to be another way to get across this thing. There might be another way. The problem with that is we often get distracted on our way to the bridge instead of having faith to just cross where God tells us to cross. And other people will simply just start walking across. They move forward. They get through the obstacle. They trust that God will provide a way for them to attain the promises that God has for them. And sometimes they get partway across and they're like Peter walking on the water. And then they start to look around. Oh, crap. I'm in the middle of this flooding river. And then they get swept away. So the question becomes, how do you respond to these barriers? There's one more that I want to highlight, and it's in the midst of the promise in verses 3 and 4. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Man, that's a great promise. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river and the Euphrates and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. They were going into Hittite country. That means somebody else was living there. There were lots of other nations that were living there. They were already in the promised land. This one just mentions the Hittites. I think in chapter 2, there's a whole list of enemies that they were going to have to fight. So they're going to this Hittite country, and they weren't going to just hand it over. There were enemies in their way. They were going to have to fight for their promise. They were going to have to go for it. They were going to have to do something about it. They're going to have to sacrifice for the promise. They were going to have to shed some blood in order to get it. It would be a struggle against an enemy that did not want to give up. Those forces were actively working against them from claiming their promise. Who is working against you from claiming your promise from God? We talked about people, these people around you who just would rather you stay at their level of comfort. But then there are other people, there are enemies who are actively working against you to not only keep you from claiming the promise, but to make you a failure. So you fail in the process, and they want to destroy you in the process. So who's your enemy? Who are the people who are keeping you from that? So there's a leadership problem, a people problem, physical barriers, and enemies. All four of these things keep us from claiming the promises that God has for us. So what should we do when we face these barriers that keep us from claiming the promise of God? We move forward. We got to move forward. We keep moving forward. Joshua was given a promise. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Man, here's another connection. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through what Joshua could not. Man, okay, that's a whole nother sermon. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Move forward. Be strong and courageous. He says it three times in those four verses. When you face a leadership challenge, be strong and courageous. When the people around you, your peers, just would rather you just stay right where you are, be strong and courageous. When you face a physical barrier, there's something in the way from you claiming your promise, be strong and courageous. When you face an enemy, do what?
Be strong and courageous.
Thank you. How? These things are enormous. I can't overcome that stuff. How can I be strong and courageous? Spells it out for us by knowing that God is with you. God is with you because in your weakness, that's where God is strong. In your fear, that's where God brings courage. In your inability, That's where God brings ability. In your fragility, that's where God brings resiliency. God does for you what you cannot do for yourself, but you have to move forward. You have to move forward, or you'll never know the fullness of God's strength because you've never exposed your weakness. There's another little piece here that must be explored. Joshua was told that they ought to obey the law that Moses was given. He says, meditate on it. Keep it on your lips. Think about it day and night. Talk about it. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then it says, he would prosper and have good success. Then it says, God would be with them. There's something about being observant to God's word. There's just something about it. About knowing the Bible, about living it, about it being present in your life, about having it on your lips and on your tongue to just talk about it, and then you just start to live it out because it's a part of who you are. And then God says, I just want you to live it out and I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. Does it mean that you have to live a perfect moral life? No. None of the characters in the Bible had that except Jesus himself. And Jesus is the one God forsook on the cross. Just saying. He just wants you to start trying, to make it a part of who you are. Have an eye towards living out the principles of the good news, the gospel message in your life. In this series, we're talking about more moving forward. We want to see you move forward in your life of faith and discipleship. We want to see ourselves as a congregation, as a body, to be moving forward in faith, finding areas that were weak, identifying those, and let God be the strength in those areas. We want to explore what the promises of God look like for us as a body on mission together and as individuals who make up this body. We think there's a promised land out there. I don't think this is it. Do you? There's more. There's another step for us to take in a promised land. We think there's something greater than the four walls that just surround us. This is great. I love it here. But there's ministry to be done beyond these walls. There's church to happen outside of this. There is ministry just waiting for us. There's a promised land out there. We think there's something that Jesus would have us to go, to do, and to be that maybe we can't yet even identify individually and corporately as the body of Christ. We think there's fruit greater than we can even imagine. There's grape size of the head. I'd like to see that. I would love to see fruit, spiritual fruit, greater than we can even think to ask. It's out there for us. But there's barriers in the way. There's people that don't want us to have it. There's physical limitations that are in the way. There's all kinds of things that we got to be strong and courageous so we can go do the things God has promised to do and ultimately be the people God has promised us that we can be. So what I want to do as we close our service, I want you to think through those things. There's some papers there that the guys have. They're going to spread out. As we close the song, close with a song and close our service, I want you to name your promise. What is it that God has promised for you? Maybe you've never even thought about it that way before. You might have like a 5-year plan for your work or goals or whatever. I don't know what it is for you. But what is it that's a promise that is redemptive in value, that's going to serve the kingdom and move the kingdom forward? It's a promise where God is saying, this is your territory, and wherever you go, I'm going to be with you and take it with you. What is your promise? You're going to write those things down. And then that's on one column. On another column, what are the barriers? What are the things that are keeping you from taking that thing? Is it a leadership issue? Is it people around you issue? Is there a physical thing happening that's keeping you from getting to that thing? Is there an enemy working actively against you to make it so that you just can't take that step? What is it? Now, you can do that here, and now you can take it home and do it, whatever you want to do. I want you to just be thoughtful about it. Think through, what are these promises that God has for you? God, we know that there's always a promise laying out there. There's always a next step. There's always a something more. There's always a new kingdom, a new territory, a new heart, a new life that we can impact. And so, God, we ask that you increase our territory, because it's your territory that goes wherever we go. Be strong, be courageous, and infuse that strength and courageous through our weakness. We are strong in you. May we go out and claim those promises and overcome those barriers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.